36-yard line. Hutchinson, head bobbing and weaving as he calls out the signals. Drops to throw, trying to set up the screen. It's going to be pressured. Hit, sacked all the way back to the 44. Guess who? Big John Henderson.
Now, from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your host Mike Dempsey and Donovan Darius.
All right, we got Double D in the house today. Mike Dempsey here with you. It's Jaguars Today on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Good morning, everybody. We're that much closer, Donovan, to the start of training camp with these guys. For me, training camp is when the guys are actually on the field and we see them flying around. For you, what were some of your early memories of showing up to training camp? What were the first couple of days like, and what did you try to get accomplished before you hit the field?
Well, you know, it was interesting. I was thinking about that before I came. I mean, there was a whole process around training camp, and a lot of it started with the day before I reported to training camp. I mean, every year I would take that day off. I mean, my family knew I was shut down. I would get away. I would probably go to church and just stay there all day. I mean, it was kind of like a sabbatical, if you will, and just focus on what the season is. What is the purpose? You know, focus on what my purpose is in my family, with the team. What are my goals for that year? And I would just kind of sit there. I wouldn't be around anything or anybody just to get my mind right. I would do a lot of writing, a lot of reflecting.
You're a thoughtful guy, though. You've always been that guy. Did other guys take a similar approach? I'm sure there were a lot of different approaches. I mean, and depending on the individual, probably a lot of different things work.
Yeah, I'm sure there was. I know, but just for me, that was always a part of me to write things down and just kind of get away and to reflect. And so I thought that helped me. I thought that helped me going in. And I think going to training camp, that first day was always an exciting day because you know all the off-season work now is about to, you know, you're about to come together for a common goal. And everybody believes that you're going to Super Bowl on day one. And so everybody's excited. They're all getting together. And then the grind starts.
Right. I was going to say, how quickly did that end? I'm glad to be here. Go away.
Right. After dinner, after everybody had their nice little pleasantries and everything. But then you knew it was time to get the business.
Are these guys getting off easy these days? No more two-a-days in the National Football League, man.
Yeah. I mean, you know what? Yes. Straight up answer, yes. It's a lot easier, but at the same time, it can be harder. The easier part is the fact that they don't have as much demands on them physically to do what we were required and what the guys before my generation had to do as well. The harder part is you still need a certain amount of reps to get practice, to get your body ready, to get the mental reps, the physical reps. So where from a policy standpoint, they're taking back and they're saying we're going to give you less time. You have to still make that up somehow. And you have to have a plan about it. How am I going to get these extra reps in? How am I going to get the extra hits in? How am I going to get my body in position and ready to have this season that I'm ready to have?
Somebody was filling in for Peter King recently on the Monday Morning Quarterback column at Sports Illustrated's website. And it was an offensive lineman. I can't think of his name at the moment. But his point was on both sides, offensive line play and tackling on defense are two things that have suffered the most because of the lack of two-a-days and the shortage of full contact practices that you have throughout the course of the year. Is there a way to fix tackling at the professional level or to improve tackling at the professional
level?
Well,
I mean, I think there is, and a lot of it goes to what you do. So, for example, I'll just give you a prime example. Like, there was a pre-practice plan I had. There were things I did routinely before practice, you know, that helped me with tackling. Footwork, things with the bag. There was things I did in practice that put me in position of tackling. Now, you're not always taking guys to the ground, like, and that's never really a productive thing in training camp a whole lot and all year long. However, you have to get yourself in a position to tackle, which tackling is leverage, angles, timing, and finish. And you got to go through that process in practice. So that just means if you go out to practice this summer, this training camp, I want you to watch how far are the guys going. Are they finishing to the ball? Is the ball over there across the field, and are they running over there, and they setting their feet and tagging off, meaning sinking their hips before they touch the receiver or the running back? Are they going to completion, or are they saying, hey, since we're not tackling, I'm just going to let that guy, you know, somebody else made that tackle. So you can work on it, but then after practice, is what you do. After practice, I used to work with the tackling dummies. I used to, you know, get on the bags. I used to do those things that I needed to do that would implement and basically substitute the physical contact that, you know, we may not have had in practice.
I have a feeling some of these principles would be discussed next week at your camp, which we'll talk about coming up. You got a 3-day camp, mm-hmm. 1 day for offensive specialty training, defensive specialty training the next day, and then safe tackling technique. And general, I guess, football game preparation stuff. We'll get into all the detail of that coming up. I want to talk to you as well about a story that came out in ESPN, and just really more of an update on where things stand in the National Football League in terms of hiring minority coaches, okay? Mm-hmm. The Rooney Rule and where it stands now after it's been implemented now for a couple of decades compared to where it was when it began. And we'll talk to you about you know, some of those things, if the league is headed in the right direction on that front. Also, question of the day out there for folks in the listening audience, among other things that they can weigh in on today at 641-1010, is simply this. Which one player are you most looking forward to keeping your eyes on at training camp if you plan to make it out to some practices for the Jacksonville Jaguars training camp? They'll be on the field next Friday. I think it's open only to season ticket holders on Friday, but then a lot of open practices to follow after that. Could be one of the exciting, potentially exciting rookies. Could be a guy like Blake Bortles. Could be anybody. But who's the one individual you're most looking forward to keeping your eyes on during training camp? We'll talk about that throughout the course of the day as well. You can get on board with us on Twitter at Donovan Darius, at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Tyler. Jaguars Today Facebook page is open, 641-1010. Both the text line, driven by Duval Ford, and also the phone-in line if you want to be a part of Jaguars Today on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Hanging out this morning with Donovan Darius. Also, coming up a little bit later on, I'll talk with Adam Teicher from ESPN's NFL Nation coverage of the Kansas City Chiefs as the Jags take them on. I think it's November 9th, 6th or the 9th that they play them. Early in November, the Jags will play in Kansas City, a team that ripped off 10 consecutive victories at one point last year. November 6th, the date of that one. So the next one up on the docket, and we'll get to that a little bit later on in the program today. Again, 641-1010, the phone number. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, got this in on the text line, driven by Duval Ford. It says, tell Donovan, Captain Crunch currently buy one, get one at Publix this week. Go grab some and get back on the field, Double
nice.
B. So there you
nice.
Go. A little,
I'm going to grab some Captain Crunch, believe it.
A little last-minute charge before you get out there on the field. Now, yesterday, Donovan, I was down at the stadium for the first time in about a month or so, and I went down to do Jags of the Roundtable with John Osier and Brian Sexton. It was nice of them to have me on there. And I went down and hadn't seen the studio. They're redoing the studio down there. The last time you saw it, you will not recognize
oh, wow.
it now. Okay, it's doubled, if not increased even more than that, maybe 2.5 times the size. It's going back. It's going to have like an ESPN-type anchor desk
really?
That will sit out in there. And they've also put in a big bay window where, you know, where like Sexton and J.P. Shadrick had their office right next to the studio. Now there's a big bay window in there. It's going to be like a kind of a media workroom type situation. So they're changing the entire landscape. And one of the things that they've talked about doing is certainly we'll have the ability to live stream programs. So while we are on the air doing our radio show, they may also post the video, something along that.
That'd be great, man.
Well,
that'd
you say it'd be great. Now I'm going to probably have to wear more than a T-shirt to work on occasion.
You just got to be you, man.
I got to get the guns going like you. But you are already very interactive. As a matter of fact, you're live streaming right now, right? You're doing a Facebook Live deal as we're on the air. Where can people check this out? And tell people about Ask Double D, which you have going on Facebook, which is a really cool concept.
Here's the thing. You know, social media is a wonderful tool, you know, and an opportunity and a platform for people, you know what I mean, to promote their messages, to get people involved, to create engagement. And so I've always, since Facebook began, I've always looked at it as an opportunity to get people involved and get messages out there and get engagement. And so one of the things I did starting about 2 months ago is I started this thing called, this Facebook page called Ask Double D. It's a Q&A forum for NFL fans. And on this forum page, we talk about everything from family, football, faith, relationships. I give a lot of insights. I give a lot of answer questions, whatever it may be. And then weekly, I actually hold a Facebook Live session from 7 to 8 on there. And so it's been great. Last night, we celebrated our 7th one, and it's great. And so during the course of these sessions, you know, like I'll have music playing. I mean, it's a full blown production here. So there's like, I may play music. Then I may do a segment where we catch in. Everybody, we check in on different things. I ask questions. People chime in with questions. And then I do this thing called, it's Chat Pack. And I ask them questions. And then people chime in like, okay, where's your most favorite, you know, place to watch a game or whatever it may be. I have this packet. And then at the end, I kind of give a little 7 or 8 minute kind of inspirational component around either motivation. Like one week I did one on 7 dimensions of wellness. Another one was 5 principles of purpose. So it's all about us engaging, walking together, being built up. It's a community. And so we have a great time with it.
You are the perfect guy to do this because I can see how engaged you are right now. You're just in the break. You're talking to all your people on Facebook Live and shouting them all out by name, and that's pretty cool. And so at least you're working on 2 phones now. Is that your broadcast phone right there? Hi, everybody on
There's
Facebook
Big Mike.
Live.
There's Big Mike.
That's why the camera's pointed at Donovan more than me. You just saw why a moment ago.
But no, yeah. So what I did is, and so I have my Donovan Darris Facebook, which was, you know, the private one, but it's basically public. And then I had that page, which was Ask Double D. So I wanted to get people to know about that one. So what I did last night and in a couple of weeks is I actually had 2 Facebook Lives going at the same time recording. So that way everybody that didn't know about the other one, they're both still seeing it. And The great thing about Facebook Live is that when I'm done, it saves it to your feed. So the whole session, so if somebody couldn't make it, they can still watch
it. Just click on it at their leisure.
At their convenience. Yeah. And so they're still getting. And then I have a young lady on there, just a member of the group. And I give her a shout out. Her name is Taylor Ann. That's her username. She actually transcribes it for me. So she makes the bullet points on what we talked about. So now I can put that in the post and people can go through and see the messages out there. So again, man, I have no problem putting people to work, man, for a great cause.
All right. There he goes. Donovan Darris, full of energy, full of excitement and a lot going on in his life right now, including that camp coming up. We'll get to that in a little bit. You said you have some questions that you like a chat pack that you ask the listeners or the viewers of your Facebook Live postings, questions. I have a weird one for you here because Donna Murphy sends out every day a happy whatever day of the week it is and tells you what it's National Whatever Day.
Okay.
And it's always national. So there, it's National Broccoli Day one day, right? So sometimes there are more than one on a given day. And today was an interesting one because there are 4 different things that it's National Day of. And I wanted to ask you, being the healthy guy that you are, you wouldn't eat most of this stuff regularly. But if you were going to go off the reservation for a day and just indulge yourself, I want you to rank these 4 things that it is National Day of.
Okay.
It is National Lollipop Day today. Okay. It is National Hot Dog Day today. It's National Ice Cream Soda Day.
Ice Cream Soda.
And then it's National Fortune Cookie Day. Today.
Fortune cookie. All right. So if I had to rank them.
Rank them.
All right. So you have the ice cream.
You got ice cream soda.
Ice cream soda. Right. You got the lollipop.
You got hot dogs and fortune cookies.
All right. So I would say hot dogs number 1.
You have to go with a hot dog
Listen, I had a hot dog yesterday.
I had two hot dogs yesterday
for lunch.
Hot dog in a bun with a little mustard.
So yes, I do eat hot dogs. So I had hot dogs.
Great sandwich.
You know what I mean? Hot dog. I would have to go with the soda. The soda ice cream.
Okay.
Like root beer. So
right. Like a root beer float.
Yes. Like a root beer float because I love root beer, you know. And then you got the I think the lollipops are good. You know, we used to have the blow pops.
Yeah,
I hope that fits in the category.
That is absolutely the category because the sour apple blow pop may be one of the finest candies ever created.
Exactly. Listen, you was not fully dressed back growing up unless you had some Air Force Ones or some Reeboks back in those days. You know, you had some nice jeans and everything, and you had a blow pop.
A Charms blow pop.
A Charms blow. Exactly, man. Listen, they used to be 10 cents. Then they started to go to a quarter.
Right.
You know, but then you would get real lucky one time when mom or somebody would go to like some wholesale place and they get a full bag
of
them.
You get a bag of them, right?
Yes.
It used to be rare to do that. Now you can get them anywhere.
But then we used to sell them at school, though. See, that's
that. We used to do that, too.
Yeah, you take them to school. You know what I mean? Now you got your own little store.
You know what happened to me like in eighth grade, though?
See, Mike's about to go deep.
I did. No, I had a little thriving candy resale business, right? Or you buy, whether it's Blow Pops or whatever it is, and you take it in. And one day I got jumped in gym class. There were about six of them. And they just, I ended up having like a couple of pieces of gum left in my hand, and it was just gone. I mean, they just attacked me, took my stash, and that was the end of my thriving business.
You know, probably the reason was because in that equation, I didn't hear that you had a wingman. You didn't have somebody that was selling with you, so
you
were all by yourself, and so they were plotting on Mike, because Mike was like, yeah, I'm going to break the bank today.
There's no
and
question.
And they was like, yeah, we're going to break Mike today.
You know what else was big back in the day was cinnamon toothpicks. Have you ever heard of this? We used to get little bottle. You go to the pharmacy and get a little bottle of cinnamon oil, right? Mm. And you'd take toothpicks and you'd soak them in it, and we used to sell them for like a quarter a piece, and you'd just chew on the cinnamon toothpick and it tasted like cinnamon. It was a thing, trust me.
Oh,
back
wow.
in like the early 80s.
For 25 cents, huh?
For like 25, I don't know, maybe 10 cents, but I think it was like a quarter. Maybe you sell two for a quarter or something.
You know, the delicacy for us growing up, you know, and I say growing up in the hood, you know, and a lot of people probably did this wherever, it was the freezer pops. But they weren't freezer pops. You put them in the styrofoam cups, and you put them in the freezer. And so somebody would make Kool-Aid. It was basically
okay,
Kool-Aid.
You make your own.
You make Kool-Aid, yeah. And so, but there was a lady that used to always sell them, you know, in the community. So you would go, and you go to her window or screen door, and you give her a quarter, and she brings you out. So you might want cherry, or you might want fruit punch or grape. I mean, those are delicious. And all it is really is frozen
sugar water.
Juice,
yeah.
Sugar water. And I mean, you love it. I mean, oh my goodness, you love it, man.
For anything for 25 cents as a kid was in my wheelhouse.
We used to sell candy too, man. Like, I mean, anybody, and even in your Facebook Live, man, listen, let me know what you guys used to sell, if you used to do anything too, or you call in, let us know.
Maybe you're one of the six people that jumped me in gym class. I don't know. Confess, it's okay.
But we used to sell, you know, we used to sell, of course, growing up in elementary school, you had, when you would take the packets home to sell candy at
yes.
school, you give it to your mom and your dad, and you'd be like, yo, why my mom and dad ain't never really selling candy? It's always somebody in class, like they bring in this long list of stuff. I'm like, my mom and dad friends ain't got any money because they ain't buying nothing.
I've never been a fan of that whole thing where you bring it into work and you sell your kids stuff. You know, you feel like everyone hates it. Nobody will admit that they hate it, but everybody hates it. You know, you're on the spot. You got to do it. You got to buy it. I was never a fan
of that.
But
you know what?
Thing.
My prize that I would always get for the amount of selling candy that I would do would be kind of like a magnet sticker. It would just go on the wall. I couldn't even get the sticky Nerf basketball that you stick on something.
No, suction
cup. Like, that was a good one, man. But it was always somebody in there. They would get like a radio or a cassette player. I'm like, dude, really? They gave me a magazine of the next edition of selling candy. I don't think we're really good at this right here.
Oh,
so.
My gosh. Magnet stickers versus your transistor radios back in the day.
Goodness.
You know, still to this day, by the way, speaking of like the childhood treats, I cannot not stop the ice cream truck. If I hear it, it doesn't come around my neighborhood very often, fortunately, but if I hear that bell, I'm like Pavlov's dog, man. I'm running outside and, I always remember that as a kid. That was like one of the greatest things in the world when you're like 7 or 8 years old. So I always vowed that if the ice cream truck came around, I'd stop it and buy my son something. It fortunately doesn't come through the neighborhood all that often. All right, if you want to get in, 641-1010 today. We will not be talking about ice cream and candies
but I will say this before you move, though. I will say this. If there was a national holiday, and my wife, she agreed with me, a day it would be for Sour Patch Kids. I love Sour Patch Kids.
Do you?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, I love them. I mean, like,
aren't they like gummy? Are those?
Yeah, they're gummy.
Not,
and it's
I
like,
yeah,
I love Sour Patch Kids, man. I mean, you may find me later at a gas station getting a coffee and some Sour Patch Kids.
And a hot dog.
That would be a national day, baby.
You and Jalen Ramsey.
Let somebody sign a petition, man. Let's get it popping.
By the way, a couple of people on Twitter saying, tell Double D those were called honey drippas.
What was Honey Drippers?
I don't know.
No. See, they must not.
Two separate.
That
people
must be. That must
me.
Be the luxury. Yeah, I know somebody else said Honey Drippers, but you know, somebody said Donald Boston said Melissa. We used to call them Honey Dippers 30 years ago. Okay, well, we didn't call them that. We just called them the lady with the Kool Aid. We called them Icy Cups. We called them, you know, Icy Cup, Kool-Aid Cups. That's what we called them. I don't know. Maybe you was in the luxury department where they were Honey Drippers. That even sound better.
We got B. Butler, 1963, said they were called Honey Drippers. And then Aquarius MLW, Major 904 on Twitter, said the frozen juice or Kool-Aid, his grandmother was the lady that sold them. And they definitely called them Honey Drippers, he said.
All right.
Whatever works, man.
Whatever works.
As
they was good, man.
As long as I can walk up to your screen door and hand you a quarter and get one back. I don't care what you call it.
I know we'll get back to sports here in a second, but with it being National Hot Dog Day, ESPN NFL Nation reporter for the Jaguars, Mike DiRocco, brought up this question over the weekend, and I wanted to ask you guys, I need help in a discussion. Should the toppings on a hot dog be put directly on the bun and then the hot dog on top, or does it go hot dog with the toppings on top of that?
You put hot dog
Which
first.
Order do you go?
Yeah.
Because some people put the mustard and like the chili and the cheese on the bottom. That way it doesn't fall out.
I think it's okay if you put the mustard on, like, because if you're waiting for the hot dog to finish cooking and you want to put a little mustard on your bun, maybe I'll let you slide on that. Nothing beyond that. Like onions and relish and all that. It's got to go on top of the hot dog, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I would think so. And I think a lot of it has to do with how you grew up, you know? You know, and that is the fact that if you didn't, like in my household growing up, it was five of us. If you didn't get your hot, remember, it was a pack of eight. It's five of us. Four boys and one girl. So there's not two to go around. So you better get your hot dog fast, because you go over here and try to get all bougie and be putting mustard and relish on your bread.
Right, my bun's
you come
ready.
Back, you come back. There's no more hot dogs for you. So I think in my case, it was a matter of survival of the fittest. We put that hot dog and got it out that pot.
Well,
quick.
Think about it. Since we were talking about ice cream, could you imagine? You don't put sprinkles in the cone and then scoop the ice cream
no.
in, right? No, that's the decorative. The ice cream is the thing you're coming for. Just like the hot dog, you're not coming for the relish. That can come second. That's as far as I'm concerned. Anyway, all right, there you go. Very deep subjects here with Donovan Darius, Jaguars today. Facebook Live, check out Double D's Facebook page, and you can see what's going on in the studio right now. Coming up, Donovan, I want to get on a more serious note, a much more serious note. Tony Dungy is quoted extensively in an article over the last couple of days at ESPN about the continued lack of head coaches, minority head coaches in the National Football League and hirings in the last few cycles. So I want to get your opinion on maybe a remedy that could fix that. So we'll do that coming up next. Question of the day brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships is this, which is, who is the player you're most looking forward to keeping your eyes on out of Jaguar training camp? You can tweet us at MD_1010XL at Donovan Darius. And, of course, check out the Jaguars Today Facebook page, 641-1010, both the phone number and the text line, driven by Duval Ford. Someone just texted in a picture of, you know, those little juice pops and the individual, what are they calling, like Otter Pops, right? Yeah. Those things are, you know, as a kid, you can get like 20 of those for like $1.50 or something like that. That was big time when you were a kid.
More inflation, baby.
I know. All right. If you want to get in, you know the ways to do it. With Donovan Darius, I'm Mike Dempsey. It's Jaguars Today on a Metro Rooter Wednesday here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, more Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
You know, Tyler, there are two kinds of people that carry around a gallon jug of water to drink out of, right? The first one wants you to think he's working out all the time and he's all healthy and he's trying to, he's putting on the show. Hey, look, I'm there, right? And maybe he is. Maybe he's like gung-ho. He just started the workout regimen. Then there are people like Donovan who live that life every single day. And he carries that Zephyr Hills around with him wherever he goes. Down to the dregs, man. You're going to have to start a new
got a little bit more
fresh gallon coming up pretty soon.
Exactly.
So a couple of things here, Donovan. I do want to get to that story on the coaching hirings, but a couple of other things. We got a caller on the line, wants to talk to you. Interesting story out as well, a poll about the popularity of pro football and when people think you should start tackle football, at what age. So I think you probably have a lot to say on that score as well. So let's get to the phone, 641-1010, and let's welcome Reggie on the north side to Jaguars Today. Oh, I'm sorry, the south side. Hi, Reggie. I got my directions messed up. What's up?
Hey, ain't no problem, man. No problem. How y'all doing this morning?
We're good.
You're pretty good, Reggie.
Hey, man, Double D, I got a question for you, man. back then when you played football, you played on the opposite side of the track. And what I mean by it, I mean you played, it was rough and tough with no apologies. But right now, the game has changed. My question to you is this right here. Do you miss the game, even though it has changed a whole lot? And I'm going to take it out there.
Do I miss, you know what? I don't miss the game from the standpoint of, you know, like the preparation. I mean, everything that went into it from there. What I do miss, and I do get a chance to have a little bit, is the camaraderie of the guys. I mean, the time of football in that season that I played, it had a purpose to it. There was a lot of things that I was to learn, and everybody is to learn by playing football, that you can't get hardly anywhere else. You know, there's a lot of things that I was being prepared. It's like going to training camp for life. You know, I learned a lot of things on discipline, commitment, teamwork, perseverance, resilience, patience. Football did that for me, and I get a chance to apply it in life now. And so I was being trained, although it was the end result, a performance of it had to do with what we did on the field. The life lessons were being developed through the whole career. And so when I look at football, I don't miss it because I understood the purpose of it. And the purpose was to develop me and to do what I'm doing now and to also maximize my opportunity for myself, my family, my community while I did it there. And so I don't miss the physicality component of it. And I think a lot of it is because I'm still a heavy part of the football community. So I still get a chance to live out some of the things that I did through either watching it on videos or through coaching and teaching it. And so I'm not away from the game, you know, to miss it from that standpoint. But I understood the purpose of it, especially in reflecting back. And I think that I could, you know, can look back and say I didn't have any regret with the way I approached it.
Well, speaking of teaching it, now's a good time to segue into your camp next week. Three-day camp starting Monday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Day one, offensive specialty training. Day two, defensive specialty training. And then day three, safe tackling techniques and overall football game skills. You can apply for a 1, 2, or 3-day camp. If you'd like to, you can go to DariusNextLevelTraining.com. Give us a little preview. What can parents expect if they sign their kids up for
next
week?
This camp that I have, you know, is my fourth annual preseason, you know, football camp, multi-day football camp. And this camp, I would say, is probably the best camp of the year that has the best value, but also the biggest opportunity for kids to really be trained and developed in a skill for longevity. And by that, I mean that we have 3 days. And on the first day, we're working on development and fundamentals on the speed, agility, a lot of drills, a lot of skills, a lot of the things that, you know, that are needed over the years to develop them and what they're going to be doing during the year. It's also on the first day is an offensive specialty day. So we get into catching routes. We get into blocking. We get into the principles and fundamentals of how do you do it effectively. And we do a lot of drills that can all, you know, kind of make it automatic. And because then that's what we were talking about earlier about them cutting back practices in the NFL. You have to still, nothing substitute for reps that you need. And so on the second day, we kind of piggyback on the speed and agility. We do different drills, but then we go into defensive specialty. We go into defensive backs, defensive linemen, linebackers, you know, zone drops, everything. I want to teach these kids, along with my coaches, what are the fundamental things that they can do, how to pick this up. I teach fast, they learn fast, we apply fast, we get better fast, and confidence goes through the roof. And on the third day, I take that day and I do my next level tackling series, which teach these kids over 50 drills and skills, you know, to increase their tackling techniques, to show them about how to, you know, how to be safe with it, how to do it with efficiency, how to, you know, how to build confidence, how to make every tackle, every open field tackle, leverage tackling. And then at the end, we play football games. And so they get T-shirts as well. It's a wonderful campus in the evening times for when parents get off of work, 5:30 to 8:00.
And what is the age range?
The age range are 7 to 14. 7 to 14. And typically this year I opened it up for 6-year-olds because we've had some kids who have been advanced in, you know, advanced 6-year-olds. So if an individual is a 6-year-old, they can also apply as well, you know, for this camp as well.
And this will be at Davis Park in St. John's County starting Monday, the 25th. So 25th, 26th, 27th camp will run from 5:30 to 8:00 in the evenings. And you can get more information by going to DariusNextLevelTraining.com, and I assume sign up right there.
Yeah,
and
you can sign up right there, man. It's going to be great, man. We have a wonderful time. One of the things that's signature with all the events that I do is I record the events, and then I turn around and create highlight videos of the camp experience for the parents. And and the highlight videos are no additional charge. It's just a way to relive the experience. I want them to, I want them to maximize their opportunity and really walk away, not only just with football experience and drills and skills, but life. And we talk about that.
You have a lot of experience passing along life skills as well as football skills. And you've done camps now, as you said, for 4 years. There's a study at the University of Massachusetts Lowell campus where they said, despite America's most popular sport being pro football, that 4 out of 5 Americans oppose tackle football before the age of 14. Where do you come in on that in terms of is it a case where bodies are not quite developed to play at certain ages, or is it a question of with the proper technique and training that you can handle it at the variety of ages?
I'll lean more towards the latter part of your statement, which I believe is there's a tremendous amount of studies and truth to even that part. And that's also one of the reasons why I do what I do. This past summer, I've celebrated my 100th youth clinic.
Wow.
And camp. My 100th one since I played and retired. And the purpose and the reason why I do it is because the younger, as you're teaching these kids the principles early, as you're looking at football, and as I said earlier, as you're looking at football for the value it brings towards your life, then you can understand. And now, in order for me to do this successfully, efficiently, and safely, I need to have the right techniques. I need to have the right coaches. I need to be doing the right things. And so I think that you can play football as early, as you can. I mean, typically I would say, around, 5, 6, 7, you can start those components of it, but it has to be at the right at the right progression. It has to be with the right intentions and understanding the dynamic of youth development. And so, I didn't play Pop Warner, and I always say this, because it cost $35 to do it. I made the team, but it cost $35. We didn't have $35. And so that's why, as a signature of every event I do, I always make sure they're affordable, because I never want someone to miss out on the values and the life principles and the teamwork and the social skills that's developed through the game of football and through what is given me because of price. And so I can understand that they can do studies, but I think that if you ask those individuals, if they had proper training, if they had individuals that had the acumen and the aptitude and the ability to do it, training their kids, would they want them to be a part of it earlier? And I guarantee that study would change.
Somebody called in and asked, do you have anything where you educate parents on how to coach their kids or involve the parents in, reinforcing some of the techniques that you passed along?
I'm glad you asked, because yes, 3 years ago at the Jaguar Stadium, because of this purpose, I recorded 3 DVDs at the stadium, professionally recorded. And they're on, you can find them online on Championship Production and just type in my name. I did one on speed and agility. It's a 2.5 hour speed and agility video. And I had kids that are youth ages all the way up to high school ages. I'm talking to the camera as I'm teaching the kids. And there's also some slideshows up there so people can understand. The purpose of it is I'm teaching the athletes that want to look at this and learn. I'm teaching the coaches that are charged with the ability to teach their athletes. And I'm talking to parents. So I did one on speed and agility. I did another one on defensive backs. And I did another one on tackling. And so they can find them today. And matter of fact, at the camp, I actually have them. And matter of fact, I have them in the car as well. But I actually have them where they can pick up these DVDs. If they go to the camp, they can pick up the DVDs. I sell them for, $20 for the DVDs as well. But again, though, I created those because I knew I can't do camps every day, although I have a desire to teach everybody. And so people can get them through the DVDs.
All right, there you go. DariusNextLevelTraining.com has got all the information for Donovan's camp next week. A couple on the text line here, driven by Duval Ford. Donovan, back to what we were talking about earlier. Somebody says, I sold the frozen Kool-Aid cups after school. 10 years later, 3 moves to 3 different states. I met a girl in college, and we were from the same old neighborhood. She asked me if I remember the guy who sold the frozen cups. I told her, that was me. She loved it, but I have to admit, we didn't get married, much less a first date, laugh out loud. And then finally, the best honey dripper was the pineapple with chunks of pineapple inside. There was also a lady who lived about a mile from the stadium named Ms. Manning that sold fresh-baked cookies before school, 5 cents each, back in the 1960s. That's a pretty good deal.
That is pretty good.
Although I didn't grow up in the 1960s. I don't know what 5 cents was to a kid back then, but a fresh-baked cookie had to be worth a nickel. Come on.
Breaking the bank.
At any point in time. All right, we got to take a time out here. This state in football, the Honda drive around the NFL, and I will spend some of the next segment getting your opinion on what can be done to get what was intended to be gotten out of the Rooney Rule and with hiring practice in the National Football League. That's coming up next. Donovan Darius in studio with us here on Mike Dempsey along with Tyler Devitt on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history brought to you this week by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. What I have is a quartet of birthdays for you, including Jake Scott, former Georgia Bulldog, great five-time Pro Bowler in the National Football League and a two-time Super Bowl champion with the Miami Dolphins. He was born on this date in 1945. Happy 71st to Jake Scott. How about this guy, James Shaq Harris, the first full-time African-American starting quarterback in the National Football League and a former general manager of the Jacksonville Jaguars, who, among others, he selected Maurice Jones-Drew and Mercedes Lewis for the Jags over the years. Born on this date in 1947, Shaq turned 69 years old, most recently a consultant to Martin Mayhew, the general manager up with the Detroit Lions. Born in the state in 1980, Jordan Gross, longtime starting tackle for the Carolina Panthers, and started 167 games. Every game that he ever played in his career, he was a starter for the Panthers. A two-time Pro Bowler, only 36 years old. He's been out of the league for about 3 years. And about this right tackle, born in 1986. Uh-oh, Jags offensive line all of a sudden skews old. Jeremy Parnell, happy 30th birthday, old man, as we look forward to you anchoring the right side of the Jaguars offensive line all season long. This state in football brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry, located on Gate Parkway. If you need cosmetic work done or you're in the market for a family dentist, call Dr. McCall's office at 620-9225. In the meantime, visit jamesjmccall.com to get a complete list of their comprehensive care services. That is this date in football history.
Now the Honda drive around the NFL, brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
Jameis Winston's father told ESPN that Jameis has lost 20 pounds, and his trainer, Tim Grover, posted the evidence on Instagram, putting the famous picture from last year when Jameis had the guts. And now Jameis has got some definition, Mike, so apparently Jameis is in good shape, lost some weight, ready to go for training camp.
By his standards, he is Mr. Olympia now.
Apparently so. Apparently Winston has stopped eating potato chips and other unhealthy snacks and completely quit eating after 7 o'clock at night. Former Redskins wide receiver Santana Moss spent 10 long seasons in Washington and reminisced on his time during a visit to Comcast Mid-Atlantic in the Washington area. And Moss was asked for his 5 best quarterbacks he played with, and the list is pretty depressing if you're a Skins fan. Number 5, Robert Griffin III, all the way down to number 5, Robert Griffin III. Number 4, Jason Campbell. Number 3, former Gator Rex Grossman. Number 2, Donovan McNabb. And number 1, we'll just let him tell you yourself.
Where do we take you to number 1 on your list of quarterbacks?
And number 1 will be Mark Brunell. Should I say more? Marky Mark. Marky Mark came in strong. My 2005 season, he came off the bench in the first half of the first game of the season and never saw the bench again that year. 1,483 yards. Who knows? He should have been a Pro Bowler that year, and that's why he's my number one guy.
So Brunell in Washington for nearly a decade, or not nearly a decade, Moss in Washington for nearly a decade, says Brunell was the best quarterback he played with from 2005 to 2014.
And he played pretty well when he went there. I mean, you look at it now, 33 years old is not old by quarterback standards.
He said we went to the Redskins, right?
Yes.
He beat us.
I know.
In overtime.
I know. He got a ring backing up Drew Brees down in New Orleans.
Everybody
as well.
Got a ring when they left here.
I hear you, brother.
Everybody got a ring when they left here.
Other quarterbacks he played with were John Beck, Todd Collins, Colt McCoy, Patrick Ramsey, and Kirk Cousins. All those guys, not very good.
Well, Kirk Cousins can say, you know, he can say anything he wants or not mention Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins, I think, is pretty happy making $19 million bucks this year. And good for him, although the Redskins feel like they can, play it out, maybe get a cheaper alternative to him down the road, much like he was a cheaper alternative being drafted in the fourth round of the same draft that they got RG3. You see what Donna Murphy just brought me a second ago?
Oh, wow.
Oh, look at that. I'm going to give this to you.
You do have the sour apple one.
I do. It's a sour apple blow pop, but I did start on my weight loss kick on Monday. Uh-huh. So I'm down 6.5 pounds in the first couple days.
Man.
Thank you very much.
You can say that for me.
I'm going to. All right. You want to say that for you? All right.
Thank you.
One of you guys is going to have that sour apple blow pop, which honestly is one of the top maybe five pieces of candy you can have, in my personal opinion.
Nice.
So there you have it. Thank you, Donna Murphy. All right, there you go. That's it for the Honda Driver.
We got more.
There's more.
We're not done yet. We got a couple more stories here, Mike. Cleveland Browns running back Isaiah Crowell. I got a ton of criticism for a social media post in response to last week's killing of two black men by police. Well, Crowell has since apologized and says he wants to become a part of the solution. He attended the funeral on Saturday last weekend of one of the five Dallas police officers ambushed and killed by gunmen July 7th in the city. And Crowell attended the invitation of the president of the Dallas Fallen Officer. Last week, he said he would give his first game check to the Dallas Fallen Officers Foundation. So Crowell trying to turn this thing around and spin it and do some good things in the community.
Look, I was pretty hard on him when the story came out, and I would be the same way if I heard it again for the first time. And I think it's easy to say, oh, he's doing all this stuff now because he got a negative reaction to what he posted. But I'll say this. The Cleveland Police Officers Association, as well as the Dallas Police Officers, have both commended him for going above and beyond. People screw up. They do dumb things, bad decisions. I don't know what much more so far he could have done to try to right his wrong. And if they're satisfied with his response, who am I to question, you know, his motives on that?
Right. Try not to make 5 seconds to define him as a person. Moving on, a new poll issued this morning by UMass Lowell shows that 4 out of 5 Americans, including 72% of men, do not believe tackle football is appropriate for children under the age of 14.
There you have it. I think, as Donovan explained, with proper technique and adherence to that, that shouldn't be a hard and fast rule necessarily, but I think, unfortunately, probably is too much improper technique or not enough proper technique being taught, and that's why I'm glad guys like Donovan Darius who have experience are doing it.
87% of adults believe that CTE is a serious public health issue. Among women, opposition to youth tackle football is the strongest. 84% of women oppose tackle football for children before the age of 14, and 94% say they should not have tackle football before the age of 10. On the men's side, 72% of men say before 14 no, and 88% say you shouldn't have tackle football before the age of 10.
All right, there you go. Now are you done? I don't want to go on another spiel about a Charms blow pop until you're complete this time.
You can continue.
Thank you very much. Somebody texted me, said, can you send a link out or repeat the link where I can find out about those videos for parents? Donovan, I don't know if you've already done it, but I know you're gonna put it up on your Facebook page.
Put it on Facebook page.
Darius Next Level on Facebook is what you want to search for, and Donovan put a link to how you can find out and get a hold of those videos if you are interested. So it just says pick up your football DVDs today, and it's the top post on the page. So thanks for your interest in that, and check it out. Another one on the text line, driven by Duval Ford, said Double D used to put us neighborhood kids through skills for the offense and defense back in the early 2000s. So you were prepping for your life after football even back then, huh?
Oh, exactly, man. I mean, I always had a desire to teach, and you know, and just you know, I enjoy doing it. So you know, it's like a kid in a canister. Like you loved doing the radio, you loved talking. I mean, I love teaching. I love seeing the kids light up when they get that aha moment, when it really comes together for them.
I preferred being a literal kid in a literal candy store, as as the conversation this morning should have told you. Donovan, serious note here, and you know, just wanted to get your opinion on this because you're so involved in the fabric of the National Football League in so many different levels. In the last 22 head coach hirings in the National Football League, 21 of those have gone to white head coaches or whether white men that became head coaches, some of them repeat head coaches. Todd Bowles, the only minority head coach, African-American or otherwise, to be hired during that cycle. That's identical to a 21-to-1 gap going back 2 decades from the period of 1997 to 2001, the Rooney Rule instituted to get more minorities of all color and background just interviews and get more exposure to the decision makers in the National Football League. And I think it started out because you had a period of time when Tony Dungy and Jim Caldwell and others got hired that it did start to rise up a little bit. But the issue that it seems to come down to in part is that 80 of the NFL's current 85 offensive coordinators, quarterbacks coaches, and offensive quality control coaches are white. That includes all 37 with the word quarterback in their title. 23 of 32 defensive coordinators are white. And overwhelmingly, that is the pool of where the next head coach is coming from. 94% of head coaches hired in the last two decades, 133 out of 141, had either been NFL coordinators, formerly professional head coaches, including interim head coaches, or college head coaches previously. So you were either a head coach previously at college or the pros, or you were a coordinator 94% of the time. The Rooney Rule instituted that a minority candidate must be interviewed in each hiring cycle. Does it need to extend beyond the head coaching position, and should it include offensive and defensive coordinators?
You know, being an African American man and being a part of this industry for a long time that has really helped to define so much of the way I look at life and my relationships and a lot of things, you would hate to know that there is some type of injustice within it in terms of the process to give people an opportunity. There are some coaches that are coaches, whether black, white, yellow, that shouldn't be coaches because they don't have the personality. They don't have the aptitude level. They're not called to this. They're filling a role and it's not really a purpose for them. And then there are some guys who are not coaches and or desire to be coaches of all different races and background. And those guys may not even have even an opportunity. Or if they do have an opportunity, it's called what they call like a token opportunity. They're just doing it just because. Like I was talking to a guy, I'm not going to mention his name, but this past offseason, he got an interview because of the Rooney Rule. But he was the first guy in, and it was just to satisfy that rule. And so at the end of the day, everybody else coming after him, I mean, that organization can say that, hey, we did interview a black guy. I just think that, you know, it's not so much a skin problem, and this goes to even bigger issues. It's more of a sin problem, and sin being we're just missing the mark, you know, like, we're just missing the mark, you know, in bow and arrows, you know, if you hit the target, it's perfect. Anything else is a sin. That means you just missed the mark. And I think that there's that issue even within this system, which is you have men who have aspirations, purpose, or callings to do what it is that they're doing, to teach a generation and teach them skills on the field and then also in life. And they're not getting that opportunity to do that. And I don't know if I don't have a specific answer for it. I do know that, hey, I'm grateful that the Rooney Rule was there. That means somebody said we have to do something about it. There's an injustice. But I think at the end of the day, it's a challenge because for a large degree, 70-some percent of the guys in the NFL are African-American.
Sure.
And so, you know, there's a culture there, but then there's also relatability as well. And there's a lot of guys that's come out. Like I was talking to Rod Woodson, great guy, great athlete, great professional. When we were out in California, when I was out there between 2007 and 2010, and he was telling me the loops that he had to jump through just to get a quality control position job. That's the person that's just the do boy. He just runs around.
Rod Woodson, by the way, who's a member of the NFL's all-time 75th anniversary all-time team.
Yes.
Impeccable resume on the field as anyone,
right.
And a great communicator, and all these things.
Continue. And so what happens is the coaches in these organizations, they start to look at your accomplishments as a threat. You know, they look at it as a threat because, as I said, there's some guys that are coaching that are not natural coaches. There is through relationships. Sometimes some people call it nepotism, you know what I mean? But there is a small circle. That's how, and this is not the name, this is how a Rex Ryan or a Rob Ryan, and I'm only naming them because, you know, they bounced around several teams, not just because, you know, they're good in what they do, but there is a relationship established amongst, and you take care of, when I say your own, it can be a black guy with a white guy that you're taking care of, but you're taking care of your own. So at the end of the day, it comes down to relationship, and it doesn't really come down to qualifications.
In terms of, you know, a coach and whoever you were talking about, the anonymous coach, is that a frustration? Do they weigh, you know, should I do this with maybe seen as a token interview, but at the same time, maybe by exposing myself to this, you know, organization, even if they don't hire me, the word gets out that, hey, you know, how does
but
that
you know what
out?
Happens, though, and he said, what happens is you start getting interviewed by several teams. But it's like anything. If you're getting interviewed by these several teams as the guy not to hire, like, okay, granted, if this team interviews you internally because you're a part of them because their head coach got fired and they interview you, good. But then you go to three other teams because they want to, you know, they want to satisfy the Rooney rule, but they don't hire you. Then the next team that looks at you say, wait a minute, there's a reason why they didn't hire you. And they start projecting that on you. Not as so much as, hey, you are the sleeper of coaches out there, but there's a reason why maybe they didn't hire you as well. And so I think after a while, and their frustration was, you know, I'm going to do the interview because it's a great opportunity, and you're always optimistically looking like my chance is next. But at the same time, after you do so many of them and you don't get the calls back, then you start looking at it. There's something that's wrong with the system, and they don't really know how to fix it.
Right. And look, it's a difficult subject. It's one that's been going on and discussed for a long time. And it's we don't live in a perfect society, and football is a reflection of that. You know, but that's not to say that any individual hiring of any coach is a bad hiring either at the same time. You know what I mean? Look, I think there are eminently qualified men of many backgrounds and colors and what have you, races, whatever. But, you know, it's not to say the white coaches that are being hired are bad coaches or undeserving. It just seems in a league where, as you said, about two-thirds of the players are African-American. The majority of coaches in the National Football League are African-American, just not head coaches, that, you know, it seems like somewhere along the line there would be a little bit more balance that we'd be moving toward. I think the Rooney Rule is a well-intentioned thing, and I think it probably has had some success because I think, in part, It actually led to the Steelers hiring Mike Tomlin. I think they talked about that in the past, and so that's a positive. But obviously, there's still ground.
You know, and I think the way that I look at it is kind of like the NFL. You know, you can force the relationship, but you can't force the friendship. You can force the relationship, meaning that you have guys coming from all different areas, and we're all coming together to win, to come to for a common goal, which is to win on the field. But you can't force the relationships that's developed within the inner workings of the guys that are in the locker room. And I think it's the same thing. The Rooney Rule is great in the fact that it forced a conversation. And I think beyond that, we always have to continue the conversation. Let's continue this discussion around how do we make it better. And I think you need to bring all sides to the table because you have to understand where people are coming from in order for us all to go somewhere together.
All right, he is Donovan Darius, Jaguar great, and he's here with us for another 20 minutes or so, so stick around for that. It is a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Again, check out Double D's Facebook page, Darius Next Level. You can find out about those coaching DVDs for parents to reinforce some of the things that Donovan is trying to teach these kids and other coaches are trying to pass along as well. And as well, go to DariusNextLevelTraining.com to find out all about all the details you need to sign up for Donovan's camp. 3-day camp next week, the 25th, 26th, and 27th. We'll hit that up one more time before we get out of here. Metro Rooter, our Wednesday sponsor for all size plumbing jobs, residential, commercial, industrial, septic systems, you name it. If it has to do with plumbing, you know the call to make. 695-1911. Same-day service, weekends included, with the right people and the right equipment. Metro Rooter serving Jacksonville since 1978. Metro Rooter, our Wednesday sponsor at Jaguars today. The question of the day is, which player are you most looking forward to keeping your eyes on during Jaguars training camp next week? We'll discuss that a little bit when we return in the moment. It's Jaguars today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now, more Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Mike Dempsey, Donovan Darius, Tyler Devitt here with you. Fat Tony has got the week off, but I heard there's a sighting. There may have been a sighting of Fat Tony out at the Orange Park Country Club. That's a man who knows what he's doing on a staycation, baby. Get as much in as you can. Rumor has it, I might be putting a peg in the ground at Palencia tomorrow. Oh, could I be more excited, Tyler? I don't know. Probably my favorite place locally, among them. to play. That's for sure. Double D continuing to get a lot of texts in on the text line driven by Duval Ford. One guy's posted several pictures, one from one of your camps when he brought his kid and just said, thanks for all you do. You're a huge inspiration, Donovan Darius. And that speaks for a lot of other texts that I'm not going to read all individually that we've been getting in. People love to hear from you and love to hear what you've been up to and continuing to give back to the community. Now, with that, it's time to talk a little Jags on the field for training camp, Double D. They will be out there coming up in a little over a week. And today, the fan feedback question of the day brought to you by the Tom Bush Family Dealerships. We asked simply, who is the one player, that one guy you're not going to be able to take your eyes off of? Who are you most looking forward to eyeballing during training camp? For you, you don't have to give me the one, the top of the list, but then give me a handful of others that you really want to check out during these next few weeks.
The number one is Miles Jack, and that's because he's probably out of all of them the most versatile in terms of what he can do, in terms of rush the passer, cover receivers, cover slots, I mean, tight ends, whatever. And so I would love to see him because what I saw in this film, I mean, he just has a passion about him that reminds me of, you know, just the generation that I played in. And so I'm excited about seeing what he can add to the table. Of course, Jalen Ramsey, as a secondary guy, defensive back, I would love to see what he brings to the table. Once they get into these preseason games, I mean, I'm not as much excited about the practices as much as I want to see when the bullets fly. But I'm really looking forward to seeing all the new guys that they brought in, you know, like the free agents, because we know what it's like from the guys that was here. Now, granted, you know, we're still excited about them and they're a great contribution, but it's always good to see what is the new flavor we're going to have and who's, you know, what type of impact they're going to be able to have, everything from Malik Jackson and just all these guys that they brought in. So I'm excited about seeing the new additions because I really believe that they are really strengthening the core of this team to be able to go. And I put a question out there to people before on the Ask Double D page, what is their record going to be? And I think no less than 9-7. I think 9-7 is very, very, very attainable with the roster they have, and I think a lot of it has to do with the new guys they brought.
That's where I'm at right now with 9-7. With granted, they could go higher, right? But I also acknowledge that we've all probably over-projected them over the last couple of years as well. And I, granted, every time I bring this up, and whatever number I throw out short of 16-0, all right, I'm going to get somebody to say, don't you realize all the talent they added? Trust me, I do this every day. I know exactly every player that they've added to this roster. But my question to you now is, look on the defensive side of the ball, okay? You're going to line up Malik Jackson and Dante Fowler on the defensive line, right? Maybe Miles Jack will start at one of those linebacker positions. You're going to have Prince Amukamara early in the season probably starting. Jalen Ramsey could be your starting nickel corner. Tashawn Gibson, who for me, maybe the one guy I want to see the most because of such a need at free safety, but that's a half dozen or so new starters on that side of the ball. No matter how talented they all are, how tough is it to bring that together quickly?
No, it's not tough. It's actually easier defensively than it is offensively. And that's why typically when they have scrimmages early in practice, the defense usually dominates because they don't have to be as in sync. You know, they're just following the ball and everybody's invited to the ball. And so once the ball is over there, you go through your run pass keys and then it's all about effort and opportunity. And now you get over there and you get it. And so it's easier to gel on defense than it is on offense.
I could see that as a T-shirt slogan at a future camp of yours. Everyone is invited to the football. Now exactly. Get there. Now accept the invitation.
It's a party, man, and everybody's invited. It's a party at the ball, and everybody's invited.
We all want to see all the new guys. But a guy like Chris Ivory on offense, I don't think you're going to get the full gist of what Chris Ivory brings to this team until the regular season even, because he does seem like the kind of guy that whether it's him pounding a team for 20 carries or just getting into the fourth quarter and they've seen a combination of Ivory and Yellen, he's the kind of guy that I think will do potentially his best work in the fourth quarter of games this season.
No, it's going to be great. I mean, I think Caldwell and Coach Bradley said this was kind of a five-year plan. I think what they're in year four. And I know it hurts to hear that, especially when your hopes are really high in this year four. But I think for what this city and this community has been looking for and how far and how long they've been supporting, I think the additions that they have now, the road that they're on in terms of their development is all great things. And so I think there's a great feeling going into training camp, and I'm looking forward to the production and how these guys do it out there on that field this year.
All right. Well, I hope to get to see you out there at some point during training camp. But if you do, we should be broadcasting just about every day live out there. So definitely stop by. Let me go through a few here that we got on Facebook. Here are just some of the names that have been mentioned as the one player people can't take their eyes off of or are hoping to. Dante Fowler Jr., certainly, with good reason. Jalen Ramsey mentioned many, many times. The great albino tiger, Marquise Lee, no question about it. Can he make it through a training camp healthy this year? Can he get to the regular season healthy is a big question. Certainly, people putting Blake Bortles, as James said, he needs to continue to progress, eliminate pick sixes, command the offense. I want to see, I talked about this with Brian Sexton and John Osher a little bit yesterday for Jags of the Roundtable, efficiency with Blake Bortles. We're not going to know the full picture on any of these guys to the regular season, Double D, but I don't need to see Blake having multiple days in a week where he's going out there throwing multiple picks, right? He's got to be more in command, sharper. This team has no wiggle room. They got to hit the ground running against Green Bay week one.
Well, at the end of the day, and we talked about it, the problem from year one to even up to now was that the Jaguars were consistently inconsistent. And so what we're looking for on from everybody as a team and to a person individually is consistency. And so that's what you want out of Blake. You want him to go out and be consistently productive. And that means you're going to have some great days, you have some good days, and you may have some days that, you can learn from. But you want him to be consistently good or great.
That'd be great. Consistently great would be fine with us. DariusNextLevelTraining.com is the website if you want to find out more about Donovan's camp. Next Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, you can have your kid attend for 1, 2, or 3 days, ages 7 to 14. So check that out there. And Darius Next Level on Facebook has a link as well to DVDs that help reinforce for parents some of the edicts that Donovan's trying to pass along in terms of safe tackling technique and other things along those lines. Anything you want to say before you get out of here
today? No, man. I'm looking forward to the season coming up. I hope that the Jaguars have a great time. Definitely to all the fans and everybody that's listening, please join this call. The Ask Double D is the Q&A forum for NFL fans. Right on Facebook, join the group. From there, we have a weekly session we do. And again, man, it's wonderful to be a part of a community, and that's what we try to make this community. Again, if you have kids, bring them out. I just appreciate everything you do, Mike. I enjoy being on the show. Thank you for everybody that's been supporting me and the efforts that we've been putting on the community. And so we really appreciate it, man. Everybody have a great summer and be safe.
Always good to see you, man. We'll do it again soon, all right?
All right, boss.
There he goes, Donovan Darius, one of the all-time Jaguars here with us on Jaguars Today this morning on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Coming up, Adam Teicher, formerly the Kansas City Star, now with ESPN's NFL Nation coverage, will lay down the law on what the Chiefs are bringing to the table this year. The Jags travel out to the Midwest on November 6th to take on Kansas City. We'll give you a little preview of what's to come for the Chiefs this year. Coming up next, this is Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now more Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
All right, taking on the Jaguars opponents week by week in the order they'll appear on the schedule this year. The Kansas City Chiefs up next. The Jags will travel out to the Midwest November 6th. Actually, probably travel the day before, but you get the point. They'll play Kansas City in early November. Mike Dempsey here. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM as we're joined now by Adam Teicher, longtime correspondent covering the Chiefs, now doing it with NFL Nation, part of the ESPN's package of coverage at ESPN.com. Adam, good morning. How are you?
Good, Mike. How you doing today?
Oh, we're doing fine, man. Doing a lot better if this team can get more wins than losses this year. But it's going to be tough. No matter what state this team is in, it's going to be tough going out to Kansas City this year, a Chiefs team that won 10 in a row. I don't know if you can win a quiet 10 in a row, Adam, but I almost feel like they did a little bit. They throttle Houston in the first game of the playoffs. They play the Patriots to within 7. Yet I don't hear as much buzz about Kansas City as I hear about others in that division. Is that a good position for the Chiefs to be in?
Yeah, maybe. But, the Chiefs have some issues. I mean, they've got some things they need to sort through and get done before the regular season starts. And, the NFL is. I mean, nothing gets resolved in your favor 100% of the time. I mean, some of these things are probably going to linger into the season. I'm talking about things like the injury to Justin Houston and the injury to Jamal Charles. And Eric Berry still hasn't signed his one-year franchise player contract. You know, they've got some other guys who have some injury issues. So the Chiefs have some things to resolve. And, you know, you're talking specifically about the game against the Jaguars in November. I think the Chiefs will, the chances of the Chiefs being a dramatically different team then, you know, 2 months into the season are pretty good. I mean, I think they'll be a lot different when they play Jacksonville than when they begin the season.
I think Justin Houston, certainly with the 22 sacks a couple of years ago, would be the focal point of the guys in terms of that they're trying to get back. Jamaal Charles, very important on offense as well. But what is the timetable, if there is one, that you're hearing about Justin Houston and when he'll be able to return to full activity?
Yeah, you know, he had ACL surgery in February, middle of February. So it's only been, what, about 5 months to this point.
Right.
So it's you know, he's not ready to go yet and probably won't be when camp starts. Now, I would expect that, and the Chiefs, more importantly, the Chiefs expect that he's probably not going to do much, if anything, at training camp or in the preseason. But you know, when the regular season starts, you know, we'll have to see at that point. You know, I think the Chiefs are pretty optimistic they'll be able to get something from him at some point this season. You know, when that'll be, probably not when the season starts, but, you know, some point maybe shortly afterward.
You know, you mentioned Eric Berry and the franchise tag situation, Adam. He doesn't have the long-term deal, hasn't signed his tender either. So he's not holding out if he doesn't show up. It's his right not to attend. He's not under contract. But is it your expectation that he's going to come in for training camp? What are you hearing on that front?
Well, it would surprise me if he didn't. I mean, he's got a lot of reasons to play football this year. I mean, he's playing well. You know, obviously he overcame cancer, and it's hard to believe once you've looked that in the face, you give up football. You know, he's not going to get the long-term contract that he wanted this year, but, you know, that's still on the horizon for him. If he plays like he did last year, whether it's the Chiefs or somebody else, he'll get his money next year. So there are a lot of reasons for Eric Berry to play for the Chiefs this year, and I think eventually he will.
ESPN's Adam Teicher here talking Kansas City Chiefs with us on Jaguars today. Again, you mentioned Jamaal Charles, and while he is a spectacular player, they thrived in his absence last year. The running game was still strong with Charcandrick West and Spencer Ware. Still have Nile Davis in the mix. Is it a case moving forward, Adam, you think the team would like to take a little bit off the typical workload of Jamaal Charles to extend his career a little bit?
Well, yeah, you know, in a perfect world, I think they would. You know, he's going to be 30 in December, and, you know, this is his second ACL surgery since he's been with the Chiefs, and he's got a lot of wear and tear beyond those injuries on him. So, yeah, in a perfect world, they would, but the thing is, as well as West and Ware played for the Chiefs last year, as much as they did in filling in for him, they're not Jamaal Charles. So, you know, it's easy to say in July or August, hey, we're gonna give Jamaal Charles some more rest, and we're gonna use these other guys. It's another to do it when you're trying to win a game in September, October,
right,
or November. So, you know, I think that's the plan right now. But whether they can execute that plan or how committed they are to that plan, we're gonna have to find out. But you know, there's no question that while those guys did a nice job for the Chiefs last year, West and Ware, they're not Jamaal Charles, or at least Jamaal Charles before the injury. You know, we'll see whether he can come back or whether age has gotten the best of him or whatever. But, you know, when Jamaal Charles is at his best, he's the Chiefs' best running back, and that's probably not even close.
You know, here in Jacksonville, Adam, I think you go back to the 2013 draft. Eric Fisher at the top, Luke Jokel was the second pick by the Jags, the two all tackles. No one here in Jacksonville will tell you that Luke Jokel has really played up to that draft position at this point in his career. Where is Eric Fisher in his Kansas City development?
No, Eric Fisher hasn't played up to that draft spot either. You know, there have been flashes, there have been moments. You can see a lot of times what the Chiefs saw in him and why they made him the first pick in the draft, but not consistently. I mean, it just hasn't been there. And, you know, he played better, Fisher did, toward the end of last season. And there's still a lot of hope among the Chiefs that he can become, if not a player who was worthy of the first overall pick, at least a good NFL left tackle. So, you know, this is a big year for Eric Fisher. He's had some injuries in each of the last 3 years, really, that have kind of limited him and what he was trying to get done. And so durability is kind of a question with him. And I just think the Chiefs have been extraordinarily patient with him, as I know that Jaguars tried to be with Jokel, but it just hasn't worked out for Fisher either. I think the Chiefs feel better about where he's going, what he could become at this point, than maybe the Jaguars do about Jokel and where he's going.
Yeah, they're going to give him a chance still to win a starting spot, whether it's left tackle or left guard. But I think that's probably a fair characterization of where things stand right now. You know, Doug Peterson moving on. I know a lot of people on the outside would say, well, you know, Andy Reid's the de facto offense coordinator as well as head coach on that football team. Should be a seamless transition. Will it be that easy losing the OC?
Yeah, I think so. I think this will probably be as close to seamless as these kind of things can get. The Chiefs, we're going for co-offensive coordinators, Brad Childress and Matt Nagy, and both these two have been on the staff. They've both been involved, so... from that standpoint, it's not going to be a dramatic change. And, the Chiefs have overhauled some things in their playbook. They've, particularly with their 2-minute drill, they've tried to do some things to get better. But, those things will take a little bit of time to work through. But, as far as these things go, it's not going to be a dramatic change, no.
Let me ask you about the rookie out of the University of Florida, DeMarcus Robinson, selected in the fourth round by the Chiefs this year. We're very close to Gainesville, Florida. We watch his career at, very troubled off the field. Very talented guy, raw talent, didn't produce a lot in college, but the Chiefs took a chance on him. What were the early returns just in terms of how he was fitting in and doing what he needed to do to impress the coaches this offseason?
Yeah, I think the Chiefs, you can certainly see on the practice field he's got some ability. Now it's going to take probably some time to refine that. I wouldn't expect that he's going to play much, if at all, as a rookie. The Chiefs have some guys ahead of him in line. But I expect he'd be, he'd certainly make the 53-player roster, but maybe be one of those guys who more often than not is inactive. But I think the Chiefs are intrigued by what he's got and think he can become a productive player for him maybe down the line, not necessarily in 2016.
All right, wrapping up here with ESPN's Adam Teicher. Adam, where do the Chiefs slot in your opinion, in the AFC West this year?
Wow, yeah, that's tough. I mean, what a year this is, with Oakland looking like it's on the rise and Denver maybe taking a step back, maybe not. The Chiefs have some issues. I mean, I think they'll be right there, or at least competing for a division championship. But I just think they have too many issues right now to say they're the favorite or they're going to win the division. I think if these things resolve themselves, that wouldn't surprise me. If they resolve themselves favorably, it wouldn't surprise me to see the Chiefs win the AFC West. But if they don't resolve themselves, maybe this is a 8-8, 9-7 team. So, Chiefs have a lot of work to do before they determine where their season is headed, really.
Yeah, Jags do as well, and hopefully we'll see, at least from our perspective, an ascending team finally as they make the trip out to Kansas City in early November. Adam Teicher, ESPN. By the way, on behalf of all the fantasy football players out there, Adam, please ask him to utilize Travis Kelce to his full ability, if you wouldn't mind. Let's pass that along.
Yeah, I get that request from other people as well.
I'm sure you do. Hey, Adam, we appreciate the work you do, man. Thanks for taking a few minutes out with us this morning.
Hey, anytime, man.
All right, Adam Teicher of ESPN, formerly the Kansas City Star for a number of years. He's been covering the Chiefs pretty much as long as anybody, and does it now. Like Mike DiRocco does for the Jaguars for NFL Nation coverage on ESPN.com. So appreciate Adam stopping by today. Of course, Donovan Darius stopping by. Always a good time when Double D is in the house. Tomorrow, we're saving the best for later in the week, aren't we, Tyler? As we've got the Ryan O'Halloran going to join us in studio tomorrow for Jaguars Today. And then Friday, my buddy T-Wig is going to spend a couple hours with me as, some of his pals are heading up north to Charlotte to cover ACC Media Day.
Left them here.
They did. Joe C. and Rick Ballew heading up there for that. So Hacker and T-Wig are free agents for the next couple of days. I know Hack's doing some work on the Frangie show, I think, tomorrow. But T-Wig will be in with us talking Jaguar football on Friday. By the way, Adam Teicher on Twitter Simply add Adam Teicher, T-E-I-C-H-E-R. Always like to plug our guests' Twitter handles if they've got one. All right, that's going to do it for us today. You know what today is? It's one day closer. It's one day closer to training camp. That's what today is for the Jacksonville Jaguars. So, for Tyler Devitt, for Joe Fortunato, for Donovan Darius, thanks to Adam Teicher, and
don't
for
about Tony Smith.
I was going to say, and for the vacationing and golfing, apparently. Fat Tony, I'm Mike Dempsey, signing off for Jaguars Today. Thanks to our friends at Metro Rooter, our outstanding Wednesday sponsor for a long, long time, ever since we've had this program going. We appreciate them. For any plumbing concerns, visit MetroRooter.com or call 695-1911, 695-1911 for Metro Rooter, our Wednesday sponsor at Jaguars Today. Midday Chalk, straight ahead on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Hey folks, Mike Dempsey here for Dandy Foods. I'm always talking about what a great option Dandy and the Anytime Deli line is for lunch, and they are, but today I want to tell you a little bit more about breakfast. They say it's the most important meal of the day, right? Well, I think one of the best-kept secrets in town is Dandy's breakfast sliders. If you haven't tried one, you're absolutely going to love them and probably come back for more. You get a little two-pack, but I'm telling you folks, it eats big, two thick sausage patties, each with a slice of that tasty melted cheddar cheese on a freshly baked bun. They call it baby brioche, and it's absolutely the perfect size for eating on the go. For $3, you're not going to beat it. Dandy's all about value, great taste, quality ingredients. A lot of those locally sourced right here, bread baked locally, and all their sandwiches and subs. You're absolutely going to love them. You want to kickstart your day, try out some of those breakfast sliders from Dandy. And you can get them now in Circle K as well as Kangaroo Express. So the next time you're out and about looking for something to eat easy and quick in the morning, try a Dandy breakfast slider. Go out and make yours a Dandy and do it today.
You guys have a good day. Peace.